morning, everybody. Thank you so much for coming here to Woodbridge this morning. My name's Rebecca Driver. I'm Director of Communications at East Suffolk and North Essex Foundation Trust, which runs Ipswich and Colchester Hospitals and also Community Services in East Suffolk. We've run this public meeting today to talk to everybody who's interested in coming along about our proposals to build a new centre for orthopaedic surgery, planned orthopaedic surgery, at Colchester Hospital. We're in the middle of a public consultation about our proposals, and this is the third meeting of 11 meetings that we're having in public across Ipswich, Suffolk and North East Essex to talk to the public about our ideas and our suggestions. And the most important purpose of today is to hear your thoughts and comments and to give you an opportunity to ask any questions you might have of our expert panel, who I'll introduce in a moment. This meeting is scheduled to last for 2 hours to 12:30. We will talk for about 25 minutes as part of that, just to give you an introduction and some information about our proposals. And the rest of the time is yours to ask any questions that you might have. We may well not take up that 2 hours, so we'll see. But it's available to you for as long as you need it. I'm going to introduce the panel in a moment and then go through some basic housekeeping and then invite a presentation on our proposals from Dr. Shane Gordon, which will just explain to you what our suggestions are. And then I'll open up the floor for some questions, and really it's up to you to ask anything you might want to. As you can see, I'm using a microphone. We are recording today's events, everything will be via a microphone, which will hopefully help your hearing and understanding. I'm going to now ask if our panel can introduce themselves, starting with Dr. Gordon, please.
Good morning, I'm Shane Gordon. I'm Director of Strategy for the Trust that runs Colchester and Ipswich Hospitals, and I'm a GP by background.
Good morning, my name's Ed Garrett. I'm the Chief Executive of the Clinical Commissioning Groups in Suffolk and in North East Essex.
Good morning, my name is Kay Hamilton. I'm the Associate Director of Nursing for Musculoskeletal Services at ESNET, and by background I'm a nurse.
And I'm Crawford Jameson, Medical Director for Ipswich and Colchester, and I'm a consultant physician at Ipswich and at Colchester Hospital.
Thanks very much. So just a few basic housekeeping issues. We don't have any fire alarms planned today, so if something sounds, that will be for real. So I'll ask you to just leave calmly and quietly by the entrance that you entered the building, please. And if you are hard of hearing, we do have a hearing loop in place. If you just switch your hearing aid to T, that will help you. Please do switch off your mobile phones as well, because they can be a bit of a distraction as everyone reaches for their bags. As I've said, we are recording this meeting, and we will be posting the meeting on the website with all your questions so that you can hear what was asked and what was answered. So I would ask you not to film the proceedings, because sometimes members of the audience aren't necessarily comfortable with that happening. We are recording it. We also will put a couple of tweets up if you're interested in following on social media. So I would now like to ask Dr. Shane Gordon to give us a presentation on our proposals, please.
Thank you, Rebecca. So I'd like to introduce the proposals for a Centre for Orthopaedic Elective Surgery, that's planned surgery. And our proposal is that we build this at Colchester Hospital. This centre is part of a larger programme of work, which we call Building for Better Care, which is funded by nearly £70 million worth of central government funding. And that covers two main elements of work. The first is urgent and emergency care. A lot of that is at Ipswich Hospital, with new MRI and CT scanners, a brand new emergency department and urgent treatment centre. There is also the expansion of the specialty assessment units at both hospitals. So those are part of the emergency pathway. If you've been to accident and emergency, emergency department, as we call it, and you need to see a physician or a surgeon, we have specialty assessment units that you are transferred to so that you can get assessment more rapidly, and those need more capacity at both hospitals. And there is also a small reconfiguration required of the emergency department at Colchester Hospital. So that's one element. The second element, which is the focus today, is for planned care. And there are two things within that. The first is the centre that we're discussing today, but the second is the reprovision of day surgery facilities at Colchester Hospital, which are somewhat past their sell-by date and really desperately need to be reprovided. What's the reason for doing it? Well, the main reason for doing it is that we need more capacity in orthopaedic surgery. So the cancellation rate at the moment for our patients overall is nearly 30%. That's almost one in three people who are ready for an operation. We've given them a date. They've put their all their arrangements in place with their family, their pets, their those they care for. And then we phone them up and we say, I'm sorry, we can't operate on you. We're going to have to rearrange the date, which is obviously fairly traumatic if that happens. And obviously, nearly one in three people is far too many people for that to be happening to. The main reason for that is that we are using what should be planned care beds for emergency patients, because the number of people requiring admission has increased year on year. So we need more capacity to be able to deal with that. The net result of the cancellations, though, is that we're doing fewer procedures than we were in previous years. So over the last 5 years, the number of inpatient operations that we're doing has gone down by nearly a quarter. That means that waiting times have also increased. So over the last 18 months, our waiting list has grown by nearly a half, and people are now waiting on average 22 weeks for their surgery from the point of referral, whereas the national average is 14 weeks. So that's that position is getting worse at the moment rather than better. So the centre itself would have at least 48 inpatient beds, which will be built to the latest NHS standards. At least half of those beds will be single ensuite rooms, and the remainder will be in four-bedded bays. And if you're familiar with our existing bays that have six beds in, they're about the same size as those, but with only four beds. And that additional space has several benefits, including reduced risk of infection being transmitted between patients, the ability to offer people rehabilitation at the bedside because there's space to bring in the therapy equipment around the beds, and also to allow relatives, if necessary, to stay in a camp bed next to the patient if required. The centre will also have at least five, but space for six brand new operating theatres to the latest specification. That's sometimes called ultra clean operating theatres. And they will be the highest specification orthopaedic theatres to the latest standards. And the centre itself will focus on planned orthopaedic operations. The most familiar of those are hip and knee replacements, but there are an increasing number of people who've had a hip or a knee replacement several years ago, and that replacement has now worn out, and they need a revision of that joint replacement, which is a more complex procedure. And again, this facility would be able to accommodate those kinds of procedures into the future. So overall, the benefits for our patients from building this centre are really mainly reducing the risk of cancellation, and in consequence, a shorter waiting time for your operation. But we also expect that this new facility will continue the downward trend of the amount of time people have to stay in hospital after their surgery. So when I was training about 20 years ago in orthopaedics, people would stay routinely a week or even 10 days after a hip replacement. The average is now 3 days, and we expect that that trend will continue. We expect that clinical outcomes will be excellent in this centre, as they are in similar centres in the UK. That's absolutely not to say that our outcomes are bad at the moment. They are very good at both hospitals. However, we think this facility will also continue to provide excellent care, and it will reduce variation in clinical practice, which is good for improving quality. It will be a good physical environment for our patients, their friends, family, and our staff, and that will be a good place in which to receive care. Importantly, it also makes some space in our hospitals, particularly the Ipswich site, which is then available for other services that need better accommodation to use, and at Ipswich, principally, that would be emergency orthopaedic patients who we don't have enough capacity for them either in beds or theatres at the moment, and it will create that space. It will be a specialised centre, and it will be a beacon for top quality staff to come to our area and to work in orthopaedics. And we expect that those staff will also want to undertake research and bring innovation with them. So why is it Colchester Hospital? The main reason is that although there is a possibility of locating the centre at Ipswich Hospital, there is no location in Ipswich where we could put it without having to demolish something else and then have to rebuild the thing we've demolished. And unfortunately, because the money, although it's a large amount of money, is limited, none of those options is affordable. So the only option that we're left with that's affordable is at Colchester Hospital, where there is essentially a brownfield site on the hospital campus where we can place this. The second is that by building it at Colchester, we are able to provide the day surgery facility at a lower cost, because some of the orthopaedic theatres and wards will move out of their existing location into the new centre, and that space that's freed up will become the new day surgery unit at Colchester, so we don't have to build a new building for that. And then the final point, which is slightly more subtle, is that there are just over half of the patients currently that we treat coming from around Colchester Hospital, and the difference is very, very slight. However, over the next 20 years, as the population grows around Colchester more quickly, that difference becomes much more marked. And therefore, if we're going to put the centre at the place, which means fewer people have to travel a further distance to get their treatment, then again, we would choose Colchester. So where would it go on the Colchester site? The blue area is the planned elective centre. This is the northern approach road which leads up to the A12 and the Colchester football stadium. Working with our local government partners, we expect to be able to put an entrance right next to the centre from the northern approach road, which would allow road access and parking for patients and visitors. It's a little way away from the main hospital block, which is important in terms of reducing the temptation to put other emergency patients in there and keeping it just for orthopaedic elective patients. But it's close enough in the case of an emergency if you had a rare complication and you needed rapid medical assistance. There are a lot of things that won't change. So we would expect that if you're a Suffolk resident and you would normally go to Ipswich Hospital, you would still go to outpatients in Ipswich. You would have all your diagnostic tests, scans, x-rays, blood tests, etc., at your local hospital. You would have your anaesthetic assessment, your preoperative appointments there as well. Ipswich would also continue to provide a number of orthopaedic services which are there now, including being the regional centre for spinal surgery. It will continue to provide day surgery and emergency orthopaedic surgery. and follow-up appointments and rehabilitation would also be available there. Importantly, you would continue to have the same consultant that you saw in outpatients operating on you at the new centre. So the thing that changes really is the 3 or 4 days stay for the actual operation itself. As I'll explain on the next few slides, we also see this as an opportunity to look at the whole pathway of care for orthopaedic patients to reduce the total number of visits that people need to make to our hospitals. And importantly, it reduces the risk of having your surgery cancelled. So the current pathway of care for orthopaedic patients is a lot of to-ing and fro-ing from home to the hospital after referral by your GP. Patients would typically have up to 6 appointments in the hospital before their surgery. At the moment, there are also a number of follow-up appointments afterwards with the consultant team and with the rehabilitation team, which means there can be many, many visits for patients undergoing orthopaedic elective surgery. We think that that can be more efficient. There's certainly considerable variation between our different consultant teams in the total number of visits that people have, and there's also differences between the Colchester practice and the Ipswich practice. So this is an opportunity to get our teams talking to each other to agree what is the optimal care pathway for a patient undergoing orthopaedic surgery. We think that could be, the number of visits could be reduced by things like introducing one-stop initial appointments where you get your x-rays and your diagnostic tests at the same day, the same visit that you see the consultant first, and that will reduce the number of visits. We also think we can do some combined specialist clinics for patients with more complex needs, such as those with diabetes, heart disease, or lung disease. You would have your surgery with the same consultant, as I said. There's also opportunities after the surgery for rehabilitation to be done in community settings or even for some patients in their own home. So all of that would lead to a smaller number of visits in the whole pathway of care. How many patients are affected? In the last year, we treated about 3,400 NHS patients in our area. Just under half of those came to Ipswich Hospital, about 1,400 patients, and they would be the people affected by this proposal. Around 14 patients each day would be treated at the centre, and that means about half of those would have to travel to a different location than the one where they would receive care under the current arrangements, about 7 people a day. It's important to note that over the next 20 years, the number of people needing this sort of treatment increases by about 1,000 people a year. We have to make sure that we have enough space to accommodate those extra people. And as I said earlier, we are already struggling for capacity to treat the number of people now. We recognise that there will be some impact on some of our staff. Much of the orthopaedic services we provide will continue to be provided at Ipswich Hospital, but there will be a small number of staff who have to change the location or the way that they work. However, the consultation that we're doing at the moment is at a relatively early stage in the development process, and the detailed planning for exactly what happens to people's roles and the way that we work will come after the public consultation. So the consultation itself is on a single option. For the reasons I've explained, there is no other viable option that we can present. However, we're very, very interested in hearing your views and your thoughts on this, particularly around transport and access to the centre. And any ideas that you might have for how to make that easier for people. There is a lot more information on our website, including a travel impact assessment, an equality assessment, a summary of the business case, and a very helpful report from the Clinical Senate, which is an independent body in each region of the country. The local clinical senate have reviewed this proposal and strongly supported it. They've also made some helpful recommendations for us to consider as we do the detailed planning. This meeting is one of 11 public meetings that we're holding. You can see the locations there. We're also holding discussions on social media. So the timeline for the decision, the consultation continues until the 1st of April. There is then the pre-election period for local government, which continues until the 8th of May, and we won't be able to hold any other further public meetings during that period. We will then have a stakeholder workshop in May or June with members of the public, our local health watch organisations, some of our health overview and scrutiny committee colleagues, and some of our staff. That group will consider all of the feedback from the consultation and any responses to it that we need to make as a system, and make a recommendation to the CCG governing bodies about the outcome of the consultation. The CCGs will then meet in the early summer and make a decision on the outcome of the consultation. If we are successful at that point, we will then begin developing the detailed plans for the centre, which will take us another 12 months or so. And only at the end of that process would we be able to let a contract for the building work to begin. That means the centre won't open until 2024, which to me seems quite a long way away. So I'll stop there and hand back to you, Rebecca. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shane, for that really helpful summary of our proposals, which I hope gave you all a really good flavour for what we're proposing. So now this is the most important part of the meeting, your opportunity to ask your questions and for us to give you some answers. Just some simple guidelines. We will have a microphone coming out to you, so not only can everyone hear you, but also we can record what's said. So Luke, my colleague, will come out to you. I'm really happy for you to stay seated, but if you could just speak into the microphone, that would be great. If you're happy to say who you are and if you represent an organisation, that would be helpful too, but you really don't have to. I'm sure we will all be very respectful of each other, but please do let everyone have their opportunity to ask their question or to make their point, and likewise, please do listen to the responses of the panel. I'm not necessarily going to ask everybody on the panel to answer every question. Every expert here has their own area of special interest and expertise, so we'll invite a response from the people we think are the right people to answer your question. But if you could direct the question through me, and then it will hopefully run very smoothly. If you have a question but don't feel comfortable about asking it in this situation, then again, if you could just indicate to me or one of my colleagues, Anna or Luke, we can write that down for you and I'll ask it on your behalf. And if indeed you have any other questions that you don't want to ask in public session now, we will all be here after the end of the meeting if you'd like to talk to any of us about any questions or queries about the local NHS or anything privately to do with this particular matter. So without further ado, I'd like to invite our first question, please. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Luke.
Good morning. My name's Terry Dory. I'm a resident of Melton. My question is, I've been through the pathway. I've got a date for my knee to be replaced. On the morning of the operation, there's an accident on the A12, especially around Cockdock. What happens?
Okay. Thank you very much, Terry. So a hypothetical question there, we all know it's not that hypothetical. It does happen reasonably regularly that there are problems. I'd like to ask Shane to respond in the first instance, please.
So, yes, there are accidents on the A12 from time to time, as we all know, or the Orford Bridge is closed, the Orwell Bridge is closed, or some other difficulty in getting there. Most of those delays don't last for more than an hour or two. Sometimes it's very rare that they last for longer than that. So we would expect to be able to accommodate some people who are delayed in arriving for their operation. That's part of our normal business every day. People get delayed for all sorts of reasons. And that, you know, we would speak to you and accommodate that as soon as we possibly could during the day. Or if you weren't able to get there at all in the day, then we would reschedule you as we would do for any other sort of reason that you couldn't attend, like a minor illness, for example. So it's a scenario that we do deal with routinely. I don't know whether Kay, you want to say anything about your experience of patients arriving slightly later than you expect or things like that.
Yeah, of course, you know, as Shani said, we're very practiced at responding to changes in circumstances. If at all possible, we would seek to respond on the day, adjust the work plan of the day, and continue delivering the care that was planned. Of course, there are usually other patients scheduled for activity during that day, so it gives us some options to move around our planned activity and still accommodate ideally. If unfortunately that wasn't available as an option, we would, as we do now, seek to reschedule in discussion with the patients involved as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you, panel. Does that answer the question for you, Terry? Do you have any other questions? You look as if you might have.
Well, the other thing that I'm thinking about is, I mean, you just said that it's for an hour. I mean, there was an instance last year, and the case has just gone to court. A guy has been banned. It's closed for 3 days.
Yes, that's absolutely right. I'm going to ask Crawford to take that on to our medical director.
Well, I think you're... point is very important, because we know that transport infrastructure around Ipswich is particularly an area for a lot of local debate. I mean, at the moment, the closure of the Orwell Bridge significantly affects our ability to get patients there on time within our own town. On the recent occasion when the bridge was shut, we had to put in different measures to allow outpatient patients appointments to work when people were late, and we managed to see everybody who was able to get to the hospital a bit later. So in a way, within Ipswich itself, we already have this problem because of the Orwell Bridge. It's a significant one, and one outside our immediate control, but not one that we don't bear in mind as we put forward our plans. So I think your point is very relevant.
I'd like to ask Ed Garrett to comment as well, because he has a wider system view as well that might be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, roads and traffic is a risk, but the biggest risk that Shane set out was the fact that one in three appointments are cancelled, and that's just not good enough for the population. This is just really something that we can't support. So whilst roads and traffic are an issue, the biggest gain will be having a dedicated centre that will mean we'll dramatically reduce the cancellations and reduce the waiting times. And if you're in pain, you want to be seen, don't you? So I think that's the biggest gain, and I think that outweighs potential risks around the A12.
Yeah, I'm not against the development, but it's just possibly where it is. Practical issues rather than anything else. I mean, yeah, we do need something more than we've got at the moment.
I think it's a very important point, and the practical considerations are certainly, the consultation has been running for 3 weeks now, and that is at the heart of everybody's question about it, the practical issues, particularly about how to get there. But I think Ed has made a really important point that every day we know that our patients are not receiving as good a service as we'd like to provide in terms of cancellations.
Yeah, sure.
Is there anything else you'd like to ask?
No, that's fine, thank you very much.
Would you like to ask anything, madam?
Hello, it's my husband. Madge. I've had two new knees, and one is 11 years old. They've been very good.
Excellent
service at Ipswich. I'm just wondering about, because a lot of all hip and knee replacement are older people, how are they going to get to Colchester? Here, if they've got visitors, they can just hop on the bus.
But yes.
And visiting is a therapy. So how are they going to manage to get to Colchester?
It's a good question, thank you, and I'm delighted that you've had a great service so far. I'm going to ask Kay if she can speak to that question, because we've done some work with patients already before we've launched the consultation, and then we'll move on to other members of the panel, please, Kay. Thank you.
Thank you, yes. I have had the opportunity to speak to the local service user group, and the transport issue is of that concern, one of the first concerns that people would raise. You're absolutely right with regard to the therapy and the benefit that having visitors to the hospital will bring to patients. So that's very much at the forefront of our consideration when we're looking at that. I'll leave other colleagues to talk about the travel impact in more detail from a patient experience perspective. That the service user group felt very much that, again, the benefits of having guaranteed access to services far outweighed the inconvenience of the travel to a site a little distant from where they are now. The accommodation in the new facility is so much improved that, in fact, we have great optimism about the support for patients, visitors, and there will be options for patients to stay overnight on site, as Shane indicated in the presentation, if that were required as well. So we are thinking about how we can try to minimise the impact of visitors as much as the patients.
Thank you. Could I ask Shane to talk a little bit more about travel? And you particularly mentioned bus travel as well, which I think is very important.
Yeah. So I think we recognise that ability to get to the centre, not just for the patient, but for their family, is really one of the most important things that we will need to address in responding to the consultation. We did think long and hard about whether we put in some options for that in the consultation, some ways in which we might help people to get to the centre. Because we had been working for over a year with different groups in the community to test some of these proposals, and that's the same message we had heard. However, we thought that it was important to not jump to conclusions really on it. We wanted to hear from people what they thought the issues were in the way that you're raising today, and also their ideas, so that when we get them all together, we can make the best possible response to that. We have started working with our local government partners, our commissioning partners who commission patient transport services, for example, to look at what are the elements in terms of people getting to hospital services. So there is public transport, people will drive and parking is an issue, there are community transport providers as well, and then there is the patient transport service that conveys 100,000 people a year to our sites. So all of those elements will have a role to play, I think, in the eventual solution to this. But what we didn't want to do was jump to a conclusion before we'd had that conversation with the public. I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing a piece of work with the two scrutiny committees of the County Council, also set up a subgroup around transport, which brings in all the elements that Shane described. We haven't got the right answer to this. I think it is the dominant question that's coming through, actually, is transport is absolutely key for the public, obviously. So we're very keen to get everyone's feedback during the consultation and good ideas. I'm confident we will get a good solution, but it's something that we're very keen to hear about.
And Crawford, could I ask for a comment?
And just to add to that, as a clinician, we're very much aware that really good patient care depends on personalised care for that individual. So we're all different, and the very best laid plans still need modifying to get things right for each patient. The same is true for that patient's relatives. The number of people we're talking about is, of course, quite small. We're looking at 7 patients who will be travelling from Suffolk to Essex any day for this surgery. And of those 7 people, there may be a number whose relatives, while perhaps not appreciating a longer drive, can get there okay, providing we get all the aspects of transport and access right. So the number will be smaller than 7. It's good that people won't be spending long in hospital, and we expect the average length of stay to be about 3 days, so it won't be very long that relatives are having to travel. And it will be good news that they don't have to cancel the plans they'd made because we won't cancel their operations. So, but with that small number of people, I think it's going to be important as we develop the plans that it has the ability to be personalised. So if there's a certain person who can't get to Essex from Suffolk, we need to have a plan that works for them because it matters.
Thank you, panel. I hope that's answered your question. Are there any other questions that anyone would like to ask? Kerry, thank you.
So I'm Kerry Overton, I work for Health Watch Suffolk. I was just going to add that we're going to be doing some patient engagement around the transport side of things to find out how people are getting currently to Ipswich. But this, my question comes from a sort of more personal point of view, not from my work point of view. I've just had three friends in the last 3 months go private for hip replacements, which is quite scary, but I think the three people I know have come to that point. However, they were told they weren't bad enough to have it with NHS, and that's why they ended up having to go private, because some of them, but all of them are extremely fit and active people, and what had happened is they'd become less fit. One particular friend said it was just ironic that she went for a health check and got told she'd put £2 on, and she said, but I can't walk any, you know, she used to walk 3 to 5 miles a day. So what I'm wondering is, with this now being perhaps a flow, will the criteria for people be perhaps slightly lower, so that things are happening a bit earlier to prevent people from getting in such a bad way before they actually end up having it done?
Can I ask Crawford to start, and then I'll ask Ed for a comment as well about private provision, please?
So I think the first point is that even with the criteria we have at the moment, we're not able to provide the operative capacity for the whole population within our standard NHS resource. So we've got a significant number of patients who are having their NHS care through their choice at the Oaks Hospital in Colchester, because we haven't got the capacity on site to offer it under the NHS. So the first question is getting that capacity to be offering timely operations with a much shorter waiting time that don't get cancelled within the NHS facility. But to expand into your question of, will the criteria for operation change? I think the honest answer is they're changing all the time. So there are patients now who would have been seen as perhaps too frail and elderly for an operation, who are having their surgery and having very good outcomes. The new centre has spent quite a bit of internal consultation time considering how we address the needs of the frailer patient, how we get them as fit as possible for surgery with work from frailty consultants and their teams, so that we're able to offer surgery safely to a wider group of people who would benefit from it. Getting our waiting time down to an acceptable and hopefully class-leading level is going to be really vital. And then we'll be led by our clinical teams working with their patients. So one of the really important bits of the development of the centre before we open in 2024 and the ongoing work is we need a really active patient involvement group, so that there is an active interface between the clinicians and who the experts in the treatment, the patients who know what they need, and for me, the decisions about who we operate on is a two-way conversation on that basis, but with the right resource to deliver the care we want to give.
Thank you. So that's an explanation of the clinical criteria. I'm just going to ask Ed to comment.
So I think the beauty of this is having more capacity and more protected capacity means we'll do more work under the NHS for the public, which is, I'd imagine, will be well received. I think the other point I would raise, which plays to your point, is Shane talked about the whole pathway, so this isn't just the orthopaedic centre. So I think during the consultation, it'd be really helpful to have feedback about the whole pathway and experience that perhaps your friends and colleagues have had. I think we'd want to take that into consideration as we think about the kind of holistic view of orthopaedic care.
Thank you. Would you like to ask anything else, Kerry? No? Okay. David, is there anything you'd like to ask?
Sorry, I'm David Wellborn. I'm currently lead governor for the at the Trust. And just to say for everyone else's benefit that the governors are a bridge between the hospital and the community, and the governors have been engaged in and very much welcome what is being offered here as a significant step towards the continuing improvement of care that the Trust is very much focused on. I just want to remind everybody that opening in 2024 is a quarter of the way to the point at which you will not be able to buy a current version of a petrol or diesel-driven car. And so the transport consultations are going to be held over the 4 years in a dramatically different environment to that at the moment. And I guess turning it into a question, how are you playing a significant role in influencing the wider consideration of the whole transport infrastructure challenge that everyone faces?
Thank you. It's a really important question, and our Director of Estates and Facilities, Paul Fenton, is very much engaged in discussions with our councils around travel. May I ask Shane to take that, please?
So the group that Ed referred to earlier with the overview and scrutiny committees started off looking at the orthopaedic centre as the question. By the end of the first meeting, it had become clear what we were discussing was access to healthcare services in Suffolk and North East Essex in the round, which I think plays to your question exactly. It isn't just about orthopaedics. It's about how do you get to the things that you need for healthcare. So I think we'll continue to explore that question with our local government, our commissioning partners, our hospital and community services, and our voluntary sector partners, probably over quite an extended period of time. But it's a good start to the conversation at the moment.
Okay, thank you. Right, do we have any other questions? In that case, then, I will bring the formal part of the meeting to a close. But as I've said, our experts are available to take any questions. We've heard, I think, some really interesting questions that we haven't heard so far around, you know, the future of transport, which is something we've all got to think about, isn't it, David? And about public transport and how people may get to the centre when we do have the kind of challenges we sometimes see on our local roads. But also some really important messages about how we personalise care for all our patients and obviously our orthopaedic patients in this case, and try and make sure that their surgery happens as smoothly as possible. So if I'd like to thank you all very much for making the time to come. Can I remind you the consultation does continue to be open for another 3 weeks, so it doesn't close till the 1st of April. So please do feed in your comments to public consultation. Unfortunately, in this country particularly, often if you oppose something or have very strong feelings against it, you're very keen to respond to it. But we are also very keen to hear from those of you who have positive thoughts about the benefits that these services could offer to all of our patients and to the people we serve. So do encourage your friends and families to fill it in. I'd like to thank our panel and to thank all of you. We do have more meetings coming, as you saw on the slide, over the next 3 days, and one and finally in Stowmarket next Thursday, the 19th of March. So if you know anyone who'd like to come, do encourage them to come along. Thank you very much for making the time today. I would like to close the meeting. Thank you. Back to our panel. Thank you.